one another.
Worship. At this time, we'd like for everyone to take their Connect card from their bulletin and begin to fill it out. If you don't have a card or a pen or pencil, raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. The front of the card has a place for your name and other important information like a current email address and phone number. You might ask, why do I need to fill out a Connect card? We believe there are several great reasons why you should. One, this assists us in acknowledging your presence here today and following up on our absentees. Two, our Connect card provides us with constantly updated information on you regulars so you won't miss any communications from the office during the week. Three, the box you check on the left front will tell us if you are visiting and we can respond to your visit and supply future communication. We really want to thank our visitors for coming and invite them to return. Four, on the back of the card, you can request any desired information about us and let us know about things we can join you in prayer for as you encounter life this week. We really appreciate you taking time to do this for us, and we hope to connect with you soon and hope you will come and connect with us again in future services and events. Thanks again, and may God bless you as we continue to connect with Him this morning.
Well, good morning. Good morning. How is everyone this morning?
Great.
Very good. Well, we've got about a dozen or so that are off camping this weekend and have been. Our teens have their annual fall camp out retreat, so they had some great weather last night for that camp out. But from my understanding, they've had a good group all weekend long. Some of you are back with us this morning. Some decided to weather it out and are meeting again this morning. But we've got a lot of people out and about traveling this weekend. But we've got a great group here. Hopefully you all are ready to worship this morning. All right. Well, as far as announcements go, I'm sure you all could smell some really good food as you entered in the building this morning. We have our monthly dogs dinner directly following service today, so we invite all of you, especially our visitors, to stay for that directly following service. Then tonight we are having our Sing-spiration service here at the church at 6. So come ready to sing and celebrate and worship tonight. Trunk or treat is right around the corner. Don't forget to be dropping off your bags of candy for that. We'll take it all the way up until the day of trunk or treat. If you're going to participate with a vehicle, try to be here by 5:30 that evening, and we will hopefully pass out a bunch of candy. Again, we are giving away a Kindle Fire, so we'll have a table set up to collect names and numbers of people. So be in prayer for those that come through, anyone that might not be have a church home. We're going to invite them to our Thanksgiving dinner for November. So it's kind of a bridge event from trunk or treat into Thanksgiving. So hopefully that will go well. One thing I forgot to mention, this Thursday at 6 here at the church, Ladies Fellowship is going to be meeting and discussing the ladies' retreat that happens the last weekend in January. That is open to any and all ladies, so come be a part of that. That is 6 o'clock this Thursday. Then November is right around the corner. The first part of November, we always have our fall revival. And this year, we're kind of dropping off that revival name, and we're calling it the Pursuit of God Gatherings. The speaker this year is Marcus Whitmore. We will be kind of having a prayer meeting, meet and greet, the Saturday evening. Do you know what time that is, Pastor? 5:30. So we'll be that Saturday, about 5:30 to 6:30. We'll come in, we'll pray over those services, and we'll have a good time in a Pursuit of God Gatherings all of that week. So be in prayer for Marcus. I know that a lot of times people think, oh, well, these guys that come in and do revival, that they just have sermons that they use over and over and over. And that's not the case. Marcus is praying that God will lay a special message on his heart for each individual night. And so he is hopefully going to be able to get the topics of those messages to us beforehand so that we can invite people that God lays on our heart to hear those specific topics. So that'll be here in a couple weeks. So be praying during the next couple weeks that not only will God lay a message on Marcus's heart, but he'll lay people's names on your hearts when we hear those topics, so we can invite those people. At this time, Sue is going to come with our mission moment.
Good morning. I'm Sue Montgomery. I'm the church office manager, and I'm also the secretary treasurer of the local Nazarene Missions International, or NMI. This week, I included in your bulletin not only a Connect card, which I hope you all filled out, but you also got a white piece of paper entitled What is Faith Promise and a blue pledge card. The white paper, I hope you've read it. It explains what Faith Promise is and why we do it. On the back of that sheet, there's a budget that we as a council put together last February for what we thought our church could do for missions during the church year. Some of these things are mandated by the general church or the district, and other things are things that we want to happen. I'm going to quickly try to explain some of those things. First off, the World Evangelization Fund is a percentage of the tithes and offerings that our church receives, and this goes to help pay for the salaries of the missionaries on the field. The World Mission Broadcast helps to pay for the radio time so that the love of God can be spread over the world, even in places where missionaries are not allowed. The medical plan pays for the medical insurance for the missionaries and their families, and our church sponsors two children in the child sponsorship program. We help with school tuition, books, supplies, and in some cases food and hygiene items for the church, for that child's family. And we can also help feed 250 children one nutritious meal each day. Under district obligations, we are assigned a links missionary that we keep in contact with. We send letters, cards, and small gifts for their birthdays and anniversaries. The children and youth programs are set by the general church, but they're paid through the district. They pay for things like digging water wells in Africa and building restrooms in Papua New Guinea. Each year, the district sponsors a work and witness trip to help out somewhere in the world. Money is sent to the district to help with the administration funds of those trips. And every month, we send a percentage of our income to the district missionaries, or to the district NMI, to help with the district mission work elsewhere. As far as the local missions go, each year we hold a Faith Promise Convention. It's a weekend where we have a missionary on furlough come and share with us what God's doing in their part of the world. We pay for their travel and their housing and meals while they're with us. And during this convention, we take pledges to help cover our budget for the year. The local NMI expense covers the reading books. If you've not seen them, they're out on the Welcome Center. It helps pay for shipping crisis care kits and school packs, as well as other miscellaneous expenses. Deputation money helps to go pay for expenses for other missionaries that come visit us during the year. A while ago, I said the district sponsors a work and witness trip each year. Well, Pastor Don is the person in charge of that on the district. Anyone wanting to go from the district can do so. You just need time off of work and funds to go. Some of these trips are kind of expensive, so we set up a scholarship fund here to help anyone in our church who wants to participate and can't afford the cost. Pastor Don knows when the next trip is and where they're going, and if you're interested in going, see him. If you have a need for financial help, talk with Jennifer Swearingen. She's the president of our local NMI, and she can tell you about receiving the scholarship money. Each month, we participate in the Care to Learn, which is the backpack program for the Nixich school children who need food on the weekends, and we also help the One Door Ministry to help Christian County families with utilities and rental assistance. As you can see down at the bottom, our goal for this year was $19,300, and we had our Faith Promise Convention in March, and many of you weren't here. And we want to thank all of you who are participating, because we couldn't be a missional church without you. But we want to extend an invitation to those of you who haven't had a chance to make a pledge. That's what the blue cards are for. Circle the amount that you would like to give and how often you would like to give. This is a faith thing. You put down what you're willing to give, and God will see that you get that money. This is giving over and above your tithes, but God is faithful, and he will provide. These pledges only go until the end of the church year, which will be in March next year. And if you would rather give a one-time gift, we are going to do a Thanksgiving offering on Sunday, November the 19th. That would also go towards Faith Promise. You can drop your Faith Promise cards in the offering plate or give them to Pastor Gary or me at any time. When you write your tithe check, just include your Faith Promise giving, but memo how much goes to Faith Promise. If you use our online giving, be sure that to mark the faith promise portion on there. I know I went through this kind of fast. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask.
Thank you, Sue. That was kind of a long explanation, but it's necessary. A lot of churches, the missionaries go around to different churches and raise their own funds. In our church, our missionaries are on a salary so that they know at the end of the week or the end of the month what they're going to have as far as income is concerned. And so we do that just a little bit differently. So this particular offering is very, very, very important, both to you, your church, and to our missionaries who are serving. So keep that in mind. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Bob, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Grace, Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this Lord's Day. Thank you for each and every one here. Ask you to bless everyone, bless those who couldn't be here, bless those who are sick, dear Lord. Ask you to bless this offering now. Pray that we go for,
yes, Lord,
all the needs that to meet the church needs. And we ask these things in thy name. Amen.
the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
Adore.
in Christ's very darkest hour, as he was preparing himself before the Father to face the crucifixion the next day. He went on his knees in prayer, calling out, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." No doubt as we come to the prayer time this morning, there are some of you that would prefer that the cup could be passed someplace else. Nevertheless, he went to the Father in prayer. And so we called you to prayer today, to ask you to pray for those special needs. I think every one of us know that our nation is in great need of prayer. Our president is in great need of prayer. Our Congress is in great need of prayer. I'm not talking about for laws or the politics of the thing. I'm talking about we need God. And the only way that we're going to have God in our nation, in our homes, in our church, is through the power of prayer and seeking God's face. So as we pray today, we have some special needs that I want to call to your attention. Troy and Julie are still in St. Louis. Daryl's sister is still in the hospital. Rennie's dad has been diagnosed with a disease that complicates his life a great deal. Rhonda Mead's mother is very close to death in the hospital at St. John's. Chris and Dan's son-in-law needs our special prayers this morning. Praying for the revival. You will not have revival. I will not have revival. The church will not have revival. You can call it whatever you want to. We're calling this one the pursuit of Christ. You will not be able to pursue Christ unless you join in prayer. David Sutton is home today ill. Nathan's dad back there in the sound booth had a heart attack today. His name's Ed Brandt. And then we need to remember Pastor Gary and Jennifer as they're on vacation. I hope they're having a good time. Hope they're about ready to come back. Let's stand together for our prayer time. If you would like to come as they sing the chorus to pray around the altar, our altars are open. Let's join our hearts together in prayer today. Our Heavenly Father, these are difficult times. And Lord, as you face the most difficult time in your earthly life, you went to the Father in prayer. Lord, we know as human beings we have weaknesses because the ones that you took with you to pray were tired and sleepy. And yet you prepared your heart before God through prayer. Lord, as we pray today, we earnestly ask for your help. Here in this service, Lord, we need you to come. I need your touch on my life. All these that are gathered here today need your touch on their lives. It may be a large need, Lord. It may be an illness. We pray for those that we mentioned here today, those that are ill and those that are afflicted and those that are in the hospital and those that are preparing to cross to the other side. We pray for your healing touch. We know you're a healing God. You perform many miracles as you walk the dusty roads, as you gathered people around you. So today we pray for healing. Then, Lord, we pray for spiritual needs. We pray for the spiritual needs of our country. Lord, it seems like catastrophe is just one step away all the time. The only brightness we see is as we look into your word. We look into your promises, and Lord, we believe those promises are bright and true and full of the things God would have for us. And so we invoke your presence today to come and to be in the midst of this service and to touch us with your divine Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're supposed to go to the head of the line when we have lunch after a while. And I always try to get to the head of the line because I have very important duties to do, like eating. Oh, those of you that have anniversaries too. Is Steve and Paula in here? They may have other duties someplace else. Pardon me? Oh, okay. Marie Horn had a birthday this month. Scott Raper. Pastor Swearingen, I don't think he'll be here. Addie Brandt. Addie Horn. Sue Kirk. She's celebrating with kinfolk from California. And we're glad that you're here with us. And Jacqueline Montgomery. Larry Hendricks. Pat Roman. Evelyn Reed. Those people get to go to the head of the line today after me. Only kidding, we just wanted you to be prepared. What do you think God is doing in our world? What do you think is taking place? I'm sorry, I didn't turn my microphone off. Am I on that one now? Yes, I can hear it. The number one need in the church and the world is a great Holy Ghost-inspired awakening. Now, that's not a new need for the church. That has been the need of the church ever since Jesus was on earth. And so we don't want to lose sight of the fact that we need a great spiritual awakening. The church in the book of Acts had that kind of experience. But not only did the church have an awakening, but the world had an awakening. And so as we pray and as we think about an awakening in the church, we not only need to pray for the church, but we need to reach out into a sin-darkened world. With that in mind, I'd like to share with you from the book of Acts, beginning the first chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brothers. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Father, we ask your blessings on this scripture reading today. In the name of Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. How would you feel if you had just watched the person that you were following and who had taught you for 3 years suddenly leave this old earth and you saw him ascend to heaven? How would you feel? What would your feelings be? Well, you know, those men that were gathered there on the hillside as Jesus departed had many of the same feelings we did. I don't know what I'd do. I might throw a shout and fit. How long's it been since you heard anybody shout in the church? Or get that excited? Do you think they were excited when those two men were standing there and say, "Why are you guys looking up? This Jesus that you saw go away on the clouds coming again." And folks, that's going to be the greatest day the church and the world has ever experienced when Jesus returns to this earth. But they had some things they needed to do, just as we have some things that we need to get done in the world in which we live. Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then you will be my witnesses." And this day is no exception to that time. We need God working in our world and among us in the church today. We need to tarry until the Holy Spirit gives us the power to be witnesses, to carry the message of Jesus Christ around our world. There was a time when, several years ago now, when I was younger, much younger, as a teenager, that the church was different than it is today. Was that good? Well, in some ways it was good, in some ways it wasn't so good. There was a lot of what I would call Phariseeism and holier-than-thou attitudes. We don't need holier-than-thou attitudes in the church today. We need the Holy Spirit working in our midst today. You need Him. I need Him. We need filling, and then we need refilling, and then we need refilling again as God leads us on this journey through life. So they gathered together to wait the fulfillment of the promise. In Acts, the first chapter, beginning with verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven." You think they were a little excited? You think they were looking forward to Jesus coming back again? I'll tell you what, if a couple of angels stepped in and said, "Hey, Jesus is coming back. He's coming in the same manner He went." If they appeared right down here in the midst of our church, I think we'd be excited. I don't know how excited you'd be, but I'd be really excited. And you know, we're talking about Singspiration tonight. And pardon me for interrupting here, but we want you to come to Singspiration. We're going to try to do some new things, and we're going to try to do some old things. We're even going to have a testimony service as part of that. So if you've been missing some things, you come tonight, because we probably are going to have at least some of the things you're expecting. But we may have some things you're not expecting. But they were not expecting those two men. They were not expecting Jesus to depart so suddenly. But the thing about his departure was, he said, I am sending what you need to be my witnesses to the entire world. Jesus is saying in his word today, I'm sending to my church what you need to be my witnesses to the world. Did you know there's never been a great spiritual awakening anywhere in the world apart from united prayer in the body of Christ? Never has. If you're looking for a revival, you know my advice? Start praying. If you're looking for the pursuit of Christ to mean something special in your lives, start praying. Because if you're not expecting Jesus to come in the power of the Holy Spirit during this revival, you're going to be disappointed if you failed to pray. I'll guarantee that. Why do I guarantee that? Because if Jesus needed to pray, we need to pray. If the early church needed to pray shortly after Christ departed for heaven, we need to pray. God looked at the world he had created. He saw the spiritual darkness, and he sent a Savior. The Savior that the Jews called the Messiah came at a time when he was unexpected and came in an unexpected way. And we celebrate Christmas every year because of his coming. This week we talked in prayer meeting about it's always today in heaven. And I've had that on my mind, and I've been praying about that ever since we talked about it the other night in prayer meeting. Did you know in heaven it's still Christmas Day? Did you know that in heaven, it's time for Jesus to come back to earth? The rapture is in that one day in heaven. Did you know that your loved ones who have departed from this life and are in heaven are enjoying their first day in heaven? Because there will never be night there. It's always today where God is. And so it's today, as far as God is concerned and his church is concerned, this is today, and this is the day that his Spirit is needed working in our midst and in our church and on your life and on my life. This is the day that sinners need to hear the Word of God and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. This is the day that our young people need to experience the presence of Jesus Christ working in their hearts and lives. This is the day that old people like me, who are a little closer to heaven than I used to be, need Jesus Christ working in my heart and in my life. This was an unexpected time. In Matthew, the second chapter, got more scriptures than I can turn to almost this morning. And beginning with the 9th verse, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." They weren't looking for Jesus. They weren't expecting him. Oh, some of the old prophets had told them that Jesus was coming and to prepare the way for the Messiah. And some of them had done some preparing, but many did not know that the Savior was going to be born in a stable. The Messiah came as a small child. How many of you love babies? Everybody here love babies? Grandpas and grandmas really love babies. Ruth and I really like to be around babies. And they bring a special spring to our step. I tried to play ball the other day with great-grandson number two, and I wasn't very successful. He kept hitting the ball where I wasn't. And then he laughed when I ran after it. But what are we expecting? What are we looking for? What do you expect as far as your Christian life is concerned and what God wants to do for you? In the early church, there was a movement that always excites me when I read about it. It was Andrew. In the first chapter, in the 41st verse of John, listen to what it says. "The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ,' and he brought him to Jesus." Man, can you think of that? Can we put our minds around that? The very first thing he did was, "Hey, we found the Messiah. Come on, let's join. Let's get on board." We should be that excited about telling people about Jesus Christ today. I should be more excited than I am. And I'm not going to try to judge you. You know where you stand. But what is Jesus saying to you concerning your life and what he wants to do in your life? In John, the 4th chapter, verses 25 and 26. This is the woman at the well. Now, you know what? That lady had a surprise coming. She sat and talked with Jesus. And Jesus told her everything she had ever done. We don't have any secrets from Christ. Do you know that? "The woman said, 'I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us.' Then Jesus declared, 'I who speak to you am he.'" What a plan. Sitting there talking to the Lord himself. And suddenly he says, "I'm him. I know what your needs are." Jesus knows our every need. Jesus loves and cares for us. "I am he" were the sweetest words that woman ever heard in her life. She hastened into town to tell everybody about meeting the Lord. There are many instances in Matthew if I can find it here. The 16th chapter. Jesus said, "Who do the people say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, or he asked Simon Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven." If you're going to have a revelation of Jesus Christ in your life, if I'm going to have a revelation of Jesus Christ in my life, God needs to reveal him in a way that will make such an impression that Jesus can say, "Hey, the Father has revealed me to you." Where do we go with the pursuit of Christ? Where do we follow the risen Lord? Who do people say that he is? There's a lot of people that says Jesus don't have any effect on us at all. And to those people, I would say, well, look at the calendar. Begin with your calendar. You can tell. He affected the whole world. B.C. and A.D., Anno Domini, after the risen Lord. We live in that day, and we're captives of our calendar and our time clock that says Jesus is still Lord. 40 days before his ascension, he took victory over death. It became the captive of the Christ. He took captive the grave clothes. Oh, there's a lot of different things we can talk about as far as the grave clothes is concerned. Did you know that when they looked into the grave, the napkin that had been around the Lord's head was folded up and laid on that rock table? You know why? Well, in that day they had slaves. And if the master was coming back, he folded his napkin up and put it on the table and left it there. When the slave came in, or the servant came in and saw that folded napkin, he knew that the Lord was coming back. His benefactor was coming back. And so he made preparation for him to come. The Lord laid his napkin that covered his head on that stone table. What's that say to us? He's coming again. He's coming back. Now 10 days to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's ministry was about to be poured out on the church, and they were to be empowered to be witnesses. God was moving. Is God moving in our hearts and in our lives today? Do you want God to do something in your heart and in your life? They didn't run out and say, "Hey, we need a committee." You ever worked on committees? Sometimes it gets kind of boring. And I'm not trying to criticize committees. We need help getting things organized and that kind of thing. They didn't run out and say, "Well, this committee needs to decide what we were going to do." They didn't take a survey of the community to see what the community needed. They said, "We're going out to reach others for Jesus Christ." They showed up with a passion to reach people for the Lord. What's our passions like? You like a good ball game? Anybody seen good ball games this week, the World Series? I saw a good one last night. The Yankees got beat. But what is our passion? What do we focus on? Those people laid aside everything in their lives. They even sold their property and brought it all into a community thing. We'd say, man, those people are really, really, really out of it if they're doing, selling their property and bringing it all into the church so everybody can have equal things. You'd be labeled a fanatic. They were fanatics. Do you know what a fanatic is? That's a good fan. And there's some good fans around our nation about baseball and football and all of those things, and I enjoy them as much as anybody else. But our focus today needs to be on the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to be fanatics for Jesus. A lot of things can get in our way of being fanatics for Christ. Even church things. We make them more important than we do witnessing for the Lord. We need to get out of our comfort zone. How many times have you heard that? A lot, haven't you? Well, if you've heard it a lot, let's do something about it. Let's get out of our comfort zone. Let's do something for Jesus that's special. Let's hunger for God until we'll not be satisfied until God's Holy Spirit is poured out upon us and anoints us to do business for Him. We cannot win souls for the kingdom until we focus on God. We must be obedient. This is a day of obedience. You wonder what would happen in our church if some of those first century Christians came in and sat among us? I don't know. I can't tell you what they would say, but I can imagine what they'd say. Man, what a bland society this is. These guys are pure vanilla. No taste at all. Now, I like vanilla. I just use that. Would they recognize our brand of Christianity? Would they say, man, this church is on fire for Jesus? What do you say? Does your Bible say what God did? Or does it tell us what He is doing in our midst? Is it past tense? Or are we looking to the future to do what God wants us to? There was four guys in the book of Mark, the second chapter. Had this old boy that they were carrying around on a stretcher. Couldn't walk. Now those dudes were fanatics. Because when the crowd got too big, they climbed up on the roof. And I don't know whether the owner gave them permission or not, but they dug a hole in the roof of that house and let that paralyzed man right down in the midst where Christ could touch him. Of course, the church was there. And when he said, son, your sins are forgiven, the church started criticizing. Well, they were Pharisees. He healed him on the Sabbath. Jesus said, what difference does it make if I say your sins are forgiven or get up, take up your mat and walk? And that's exactly what he did. He laid his mat aside. Those guys didn't have to pull it back up through the roof. He walked out. Jesus had healed him. Jesus changed his life. What kind of things do we need to work through today? What do we think is most important? We have to go through the Lord to reach people for Jesus Christ, or we can't win them at all. their persistence continued. They did a lot of things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and breaking bread and spending time together. All of those are good things. In Matthew, the 7th chapter and 7th verse, he says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you." We need some seekers. We need some knockers. We need some prayers that will pray until God comes. We need people who will be devoted in intercession. You see, if you look around you, we see a lot of people launched into darkness. The darkness without God. People need God. How many people do you know that needs Jesus working in their lives? Just this last week, they talked about the drug epidemic that's sweeping our country. You know what the greatest substitute for drugs is? The living Lord. Will that make everything right instantly? It's the beginning. And Jesus makes that beginning when he changes lives. New creatures in Christ Jesus. Listen, we need to feel the urgency in our day. Because people are walking in the darkness. They pass us by. And what are our priorities? What are your priorities? What are my priorities? Well, probably some of you are thinking about lunch, and it's almost time. And I'll be thinking about it here in a couple of minutes, too. But right now, in these moments that we have together, can we be passionate about the calling of Jesus Christ on our lives? Can we determine that we're going to do what God has called us to do and what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do? They were expecting. How many of you expects to lead somebody to Christ? How many of you expects to see somebody kneeling at the altar to accept Jesus Christ? I want to be expectant. I want to be alive to the reality that these altars are all open, plenty of room. Plenty of room. What's Jesus doing among us? What's Jesus doing in your life today? What is he saying to you right now? My questions don't mean anything. But Jesus is the one that speaks to our hearts and lives through the Holy Spirit. So as we prepare to close today, and let's pray that God would speak to us once again through the Holy Spirit, and that we would be touched and revived and inspired to be fanatics for Jesus. Be careful, preacher. You're preaching in dangerous ground. That's the only way some people will be won to the Lord, is if the church becomes fanatical about teaching people about Jesus Christ. There's lots of different avenues. There's lots of different things we can do. But the most important thing that you'll do as a Christian in your lifetime is point someone else to Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. That's not my words. That's what Jesus said. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and all over the world. So let's take that seriously today as we stand together. Father, as we close this service with prayer, we look up to you. Lord, we don't know it all today. But we follow a God who knows all of it. We follow a God who has it all together. We follow a God who is calling us to something new and different and bigger than we've ever experienced before. Is the anointing of the Holy Spirit to make us witnesses all over our world. This includes our neighborhood, our neighbors. This includes the people that we run into as we go different places. Lord, help us to be praying and seeking for your leadership, praying for the lost, reaching out under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring people into your kingdom. Bless us now as we depart from this sanctuary. Bless as those birthdays that we'll be celebrating together. Bless those anniversaries we'll be celebrating together. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. God bless you.